Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
The book of Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Pastor Joel dives into the heart of this truth in today's message, This Life in Christ, Being in It to Win It. Let's listen in as Pastor Joel begins this new series.
The sermon today is entitled, This Life in Christ, Being in It to Win It. I'm going to be preaching about some things that should be of great concern to anyone who says they're a Christian. All right? Anyone who considers himself or herself to be a Christian. This is about our walks in Christ and what that entails. All right? Not so much by our standards, but by whose standards? God's standards, all right? That's what we have to think about. God's standards as outlined in the Bible. Sometimes we have to do a fact check. Okay, we got to reassess some things. Sometimes we have to debrief. See, you know how you get a life insurance policy and you never check it? Then one day you go back and say, is that all I'm getting? Sometimes you have to reassess it before it's too late. All right? So that's sort of what this is about. We want to make sure we're doing things by God's standards because it's easy to get away from that thing, you know? And I'm sure that most people have their own ideas and their own opinions concerning their own individual walks in Christ. I'm not here to trample on anybody or to walk in anybody's private life. We all have our own lives to live before the Lord, okay? But we just want to make sure that we as Christ followers, because there's a lot of things coming at us now, more so than ever before, okay? So I imagine that there are people who consider themselves to be saved, born-again believers, doing what they do daily and are probably content with their lifestyles. We're seeing this more and more. Okay, and they probably think that their habits are satisfactory enough for them, and they probably are, okay, and that's okay, but we want to make sure that what's being considered or understood is one's life in Christ. We're here for his purpose. So I'm sure that we all like to think that we're doing all we can as representatives of Christ, and if we're not, we like to think that we're trying anyway, right? Yeah, all right, so sometimes that's about all we can do, okay? But there's a scripture in the Bible, and it's in Proverbs 16:2, and it says that all of a man's ways are pure in his own eyes. Huh? It said, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Left up to us, we're doing just fine. Doing what we're supposed to do. Left up to us, everything is peachy keen, but the Lord said, you're the test taker, I'm the tester. See, you don't give your own grade, I give you the grade. And so sometimes we have to reassess ourselves, okay? And because the Lord says that he tests the spirits. So the truth is we as people have the uncanny ability to rationalize and justify ourselves. We can justify our practices. We can justify our behavior, even when they're inappropriate. How many times have we said, well, God knows how I am. That's justifying something that we don't want to let go of, all right? That's the little quirk that we do, or that little get-back type of retort when somebody says something back to us, and we say, well, you're another one. And say, well, you shouldn't say that. You're a Christian. Say, well, God knows how I am. See, we don't want to let go of those things sometimes, okay? So unfortunately, even Christ's followers make those mistakes. We know the world does it, but sometimes we do the same thing. So we just want to touch on these things and make sure. As we studied last week, even though Christians, we're Christians, and we're no longer slaves to Satan, we're not slaves to sin, but guess what? We still fall into it sometimes. We still give in to certain temptations sometimes. Sometimes it's our culture. Sometimes we are raised in an environment that is hard to shake some things. You know, when I'm driving, I still look behind me. I still go around the block. You know, I do things because of my culture growing up in Chicago, and it's hard to shake something. Now, that's not a bad thing, but when you get paranoid, as Tony Montana would say, when you get paranoid, it's not a good thing, you know. So we are at times susceptible to falling into sin, all right? So what we want to do is examine what it means to be in Christ by God's standards. That's what we want to do, as opposed to our own personal standards. So with that, I'm going to ask the songbird, Pastor Annalisa Jones, take us to the book of 1 Corinthians, please, and read 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read verses 24 to 27. This is our memory verse, but we're going to use that one right now.
Thank you, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27 tells us, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached in others, I myself should become unqualified."
And this is a good scripture to start. Sometimes you can just, the Lord will just give you something, open your Bible, and he will put a message to you that you needed, to revisit, all right? And this, of course, is Apostle Paul, and Paul is using an example of running a physical race, what it takes to run a physical race and winning. I see Lil Promise over there. Look at Lil Promise. She's a big girl now. Golly. That was the first young lady that was dedicated in our church, was that little beautiful little girl right there. I'm sorry to digress, but I just had to acknowledge that. So Paul is saying, he's using the example of running a physical race and winning in order for us to see what is necessary to run a spiritual race and win. A spiritual race in Christ Jesus. We call it a walk in Christ. Sometimes it's a run in Christ. Sometimes it's a trot. But it's what it is a relationship in Christ. And I want you all to see that obviously runners in a race are expected to do what before they enter a major competition? What would you do before you had to run? Warm up, prepare, train, huh? You got to get busy, right? Let's get ready to rumble, you know, like that. You got to get ready to, you got to put some foot to it, okay? And that's what we have to do. We have to learn to train, and that's what Paul is talking about. See, sometimes we get saved and we sit and we sit and we sit and we receive and we receive. What's in it for me? Ain't I supposed to be blessed? Or aren't I supposed to be blessed? Where's my blessing? Jesus said, okay, I'm saved, I have salvation. Where's my grace? More grace, more grace. But Paul is saying there's something we got to do. There's something we got to do. If you read that scripture that Pastor Annalisa said, he said, but I discipline, in verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached, I myself may be disqualified. How can we say we're Christians if we're not doing what Christians are supposed to be? That disqualified. We're not just talking about preaching from the pulpit. We're talking about preaching to your family. We're talking about walking down the street. We're talking about showing up at Safeway and saying this line is too long. We will be disqualified if we're not careful, huh? Huh? Go to the laundromat and say, take your clothes out. Whatever people do, I need that dryer. And we're Christians. It said we got to discipline ourselves so we're not disqualified. See, this is our walk. And sometimes we forget people are watching you. They're watching you. People are watching us. In 2 Corinthians 5, 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ were pleading through us, I beseech you to walk in the Lord, to represent the Lord. Huh? We're supposed to be representatives of Christ. We have to see ourselves with a sash on that says Jesus. Whether you like it or not, you're in it. You're Jesus. You've been tattooed already. Not tattooed. I shouldn't use that term. You've been marked already. The proper markings by Jesus is what I'm trying to say. I got out of the car the other day, and I was at Safeway. And we just pulled up, and I wasn't feeling too good. I didn't feel like talking to anybody. And I have to admit, sometimes I don't feel like talking. I just want to look at the sky or the ceiling. So I got out of the car, and I saw a guy. And he walked up to the front of the store, and typically in Safeway, somebody's going to ask you to buy something or ask you to buy some candy, and I can't eat candy, especially now after visiting the doctor. He said, oh, you got to lay off the sweets. So I walked up to Safeway not wanting to talk to anybody, and I sort of had my game face on because, sometimes you do that because, when you're a stern-looking man and you don't smile, people say, what's wrong with you? What are you mad about? So I just didn't smile. And when I don't smile, then people leave me alone. So I was walking like. And when I got to the door, I heard somebody say, Pastor Joe. I had to go. Lord said, you work for me. And it was a pastor that came up to me. And we had talked, and we had been trying to get together for this prayer. And I told you I called 32 pastors to try to find somebody to pray with, and one answered. It was that one. He was coming from a funeral, and he said, Pastor Joel, he said, man, I've been trying to catch up with you. I didn't mean to hold you off. I got your message and everything else, because I don't text. I have a problem with that. He said, I got your message, and I'm so glad I ran into you. He said, I saw you getting out of your car. I said, oh. I want to say you did. Did I do all right? That's a reminder, see? I don't care how you feel. Pastor Annalisa just said the battle's not yours. It's the Lord. He wants to use you. Huh? He wants to use you. We can't afford to just be toe up, toe down, broke down, smoke down. We got to stand up and be the Lord. Throw your head up, throw your head back. Count your blessings, how God is taking care of you, how you lived another day of life, huh? And so what Paul is saying in here is that we can't be stumbling through our walks in Christ. Don't stumble through it. We've got to be ready to train. We got to be ready to do another lap spiritually. Amen. Okay. Right. Runners and athletes have to watch their diets, don't they? Huh? They have to get their minds right. They watch their physical diets. We watch our spiritual diets, huh? What we let into our heads, what we take into our spirit, huh? That type of thing. That's what he's talking about. When I was in the military, they used to say, boy, you better get your mind right. They used to say that. And that's really what it is in Christ. Isn't that right, Brother Ron? That's what it is in Christ. Here's another big thing. Here's another big term. Runners have to deny themselves, don't they? Athletes have to deny themselves. That's the thing you got to leave off, okay? You got to leave some things off. You can't expect to fill up on junk food and Freddy's fat burgers and French fries and syrupy pastries and things like that, sodas and so forth, and then go run a marathon. Huh? You can't do that and run the high hurdles. You're going to leave some stuff behind if you do it that way, but you got to leave that behind. You got to leave that behind in order to run the race well. See? And that's what Paul is talking about. And by no means do I consider myself to be a marathoner. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. I used to run, but I can't run like that now. Even in my jog, it's not a full jog. It's more like a half jog, half walk. So you can call it a jolk. I don't jog, I jolk. But it still requires that I put the proper nutrition in my body if my training regimen is going to be adequate for what I want to get out of it, okay? But I have to admit, the part of fitness requires us to put in hard work, all right, as well as the right foods. And in other words, you got to put the right foods, the right fuel in you to be fit. Like the Sister Carrie, I got to point to Sister Carrie. That's a little dynamo right there. Y'all don't know Carrie. Don't let her fool you dressed up all pretty like that. She trains, she eats right, and she's broken records, you know, because the Lord is using her in that. All right? So we need the right fuel, and that's also true of our running in Christ Jesus. Our walks in Christ. They require a daily training regimen. And that's what we're talking about. A preparedness that you get from training. All right? If we are to win or succeed in this endeavor, we have to train appropriately. Now, this text which Paul lays out also uses the analogy of being in a fight, huh? Which is grueling. Boxing is grueling. Okay, it's absolutely grueling. One of the most difficult sports I've ever been in is boxing. All right, that's what put me into martial arts. I got tired of getting hit, and I said I must learn how to hit without getting hit. Like fighting without fighting, like Bruce Lee used to say. I understood. Bruce wasn't going to get hit. You see how good looking Bruce was. I didn't want to get hit. I got tired of that. But Paul mentions in this, you don't want to be swinging at the air. That's what he said. We fight not as one who swings at the air, but we discipline ourselves. That's what he's talking about. Now, he's using that analogy as a metaphor, meaning that you don't want to be missing. Not so much an opponent, but you don't want to miss the mark. Huh? You don't want to miss the mark. Huh? You don't be wasting your time grasping at straws. Huh? He says you don't want to be swinging at the air. I took it physically when I first started boxing. Every time I read this chapter, this text, it reminds me of the time I first stepped into a boxing ring. And I see now that the Lord took me down a certain road for a reason. All the boxing, all the fighting, it was to come to Christ. Because when I never read a Bible till I was 49. I was just telling Kai that. But all the experience that the Lord had me doing different things, and then I would see it in here. So when the Lord brought me in and I started looking at this, and it still gets to me today, I remember my first boxing appointment in the ring, and it still comes to mind when Paul says that, because I was 18 and I was in the military, and I was in where was I? Hit so many times. I think I was in either Fort Sill, Oklahoma, or Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri at that time. Yeah, it was in Fort Sill, and I was on the boxing team, and I had never fought an actual fight in the ring. My fighting was on the streets. How many of you know that street fighting is easier than boxing in the ring? But my friends in the barracks talked me into boxing, and then the trainer started coming to me. He used to call me Tiny. They said, "Come on, Tiny, we need a heavyweight." And I said, "Oh, okay, all right, I'll do it. I said, "Yeah, I'm pretty good with my hands, you know. I can do it." Anyway. You all probably told you this before, but some people don't know. But I found out that when you put on 10-ounce gloves, 12-ounce gloves, and your arm weighed about 20 pounds at the time, big arm, I was a big arm guy, that's a lot of meat to throw around. A little different than street fighting. I didn't factor in the part about proper training. 18-year-old, hard-headed, impetuous kid said, I can do it. Fight won't last long if you put me in there with him. Don't know who he is, but I know who I am. That type of thing, you know. I stepped into the ring unprepared without proper training. And I thought I was going to quickly dispatch this young man. And after all, he was an old man. He was an old man. Don't you ever swing on the old men. I'm telling you that. They know some things. I was 18. He was 24. To me, that's an old man at 18, right? When you're 18 and you see somebody 24, they're old. So what happened was, I went in there saying, I don't have to run around the track of the barracks. I'll just run around the barracks a couple of times a night. Got in there. I still had on silk socks. I didn't wear, I had silk socks on with boxer shorts. You know, this was going to be quick, you know. I had those socks that I bought on 35th Street in Chicago. I'm going to tell you how the Lord will wake you up. Anyway, I went in there. And I went in there, and people noticed the socks I had on. I'm like, this is going to be quick. I went in there, and after about 30 seconds, I couldn't even throw a punch. I see the opening, and I go like this, and I go, poof. Poof. I said, well, there's something wrong. I was so tired. My body betrayed me. My arms started cramping up. I was tingling. I said, what happened? So I sat down in the round, ding, the bell ring. I'm sitting in the corner. They said, Tiny, you all right? I said, what round is it? I went back out and took another beat. Booyah, booyah, booyah. You know, you just try to tackle somebody, get them on the ground. Well, I learned a lesson. And then I wrote to him, and I wound up doing just what Paul said. I was like, I was swinging at the air. And you know, when you swing at the air, you get even more tired, right? Anybody's ever boxed? Oh, boxing, they call it the sweet science. You better check it out. Anyway, to make a long story short, that didn't go too well, okay? It didn't go well. I learned from that, and I said, never again will that ever happen. So you're ready to go at that point. So, well, saints, that's how it is with the Word of God. I tell you that story because in our walks with Christ, we've got to have the discipline to do the work. We don't take things for granted. We discipline our bodies. We walk in this thing that you're ready to go the whole 12 rounds. Okay, so that you don't take yourself out of the game. Jesus has made a way that said the victory is yours, but you've got to embrace it. Amen. We got to walk in this thing. And if we don't, we don't go look back at it and recalibrate our lives, we wind up being disqualified, like a runner coming out of the blocks too soon.
1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We're so thankful you chose to fellowship with us today. You can find today's message as well as previous broadcasts on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. While you're there, connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook, and if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Listen, If you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. We invite you to join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and to walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of this powerful message with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is-